All right. We are going to go ahead and get started. So find your breath. And every time you breathe in, your belly is going to expand like a big balloon. And every time you breathe out, your belly is going to contract. So breathe it in. Your belly is going to expand. And just picture it's a cool, crisp, blue, pepperminty air. And every time you breathe out, it's a red, hot, fiery, cinnamony air. And just slow it down. So in for four, hold for four, out for four, hold for four. And let's just kick it off with some of those box breaths. In four, hold four, out four, hold four. Awesome. And then just bring it back to an even in breath and an even out breath. Awesome. So moving into those cranial nerves. So head, face, neck, hairline, jawline, all of it. Scratch, massage, tap, touch, whatever feels good. Awesome. And then just finish that last pass over wherever you are. And then we're going to make our way to those isometric squeezes. So making a fist with your feet for 5 seconds. Ready, go for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Breathe it out. Breathe it back in. Awesome. Keeping it going. You are going to extend from the ankles. Point those toes away from you, creating length in your ankle. Ready and go for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Breathe it out. Breathe it back in. Awesome. Keeping it going. We are going to push those heels into the ground until the back of those legs or those hamstrings switch on. Ready and go for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Breathe it out. Breathe it back in. Awesome. Coming up like you're coming up for a crunch and stop when you feel the abdominal wall switch on. Ready and go for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Breathe it out and breathe it back in. Awesome. Shrug those shoulders up towards your ears as tight as you can. Ready and go for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Breathe it out. Breathe it back in. Awesome. Squeezing every muscle in your body, hands, face, feet, fist, you name it. Ready and go for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Breathe it out. Breathe it back in. Awesome. And then just opening your eyes and your mouth as wide as you can. Eyes and mouth as wide as you can. Ready and go for 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and release. Breathe it out. Breathe it back in. Awesome, lady. So just kind of come back to the room, come back to the conversation at hand. Beautiful. So we are going to go ahead and dive on in. Margo will be joining us in a few minutes as well. And just a reminder that next week is the last week of calls for this year. So bring your questions, bring your queries. And of course, if you need me on the help desk in between, let me know. But we'll go ahead and kick it off. So what are we celebrating? Where do we need support? Any of the above, all the things. So we'll go Jessica, Suzanne, and then we'll have Margo join us as well. So Jessica, you can just go ahead and unmute yourself, sister.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Good.
I feel like I've missed out the past couple calls.
So I know. Well, you've had your cup filled and good stuff cooking in your world.
Yes. Yes, yes. Getting ready to head to Mexico for 4 days on Saturday morning.
Wow. Where in Mexico are you headed?
Riviera Maya.
Okay. Is that, where are you flying into?
Cancun.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it sounded familiar. So is it not too far from Cancun?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, cool. Or is that the name of the place that you're staying?
I don't know. I'm no good with geography.
I feel like it's a suburb. Okay, cool. I was in Cancun a couple of, like, during the pandemic. When they told people not to go to Mexico, and I was like, I'm going to Mexico, with my girlfriend. Yeah. And, it sounded familiar, and I flew into Cancun. So that's why I was curious.
Yeah. We're going to an all-inclusive, and we just planned to park our butts there and not.
Awesome. Leave. That's what we did. It was so much fun. We had a blast. Yeah. So
I'm super excited. I have not been on a plane since 2019. So super ready.
Look out, Mexico. Look out.
I know.
That's awesome. It's in South Cancun. I just Googled it, just so you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just feel like Riviera Maya sounds fancier.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Totally. Exactly. Yeah.
So I did have something happen yesterday that I'd love your
help
with.
Of course.
So I was getting ready to go to my spin class, and I was getting dressed, and I was not feeling good about how I was looking, and it put me in a really bad mood.
Yep.
And it definitely led to some poor food choices after my spin class. And so I'm wondering if you have some advice on how to work through those times.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so the first thing and there's a couple things to just kind of, you know, a couple angles to go through this from. First and foremost, like, there might just need to be a little bit of recency and, like, up leveling some beliefs around your body. Right. Yeah. And, like, what you say about it, and specifically in those five ingredients, like, if we are not connecting to our version of self-worth, then our default brain will take us back to looking for what we think we look like in the mirror, or our scale weight, or whatever measurables we used to use. Right. So yes, that's one side of it. Okay. But then there is a thought process that happened, that you looked at yourself in the mirror, you thought certain things, and then some sort of, like, drama spiraled that caused you to reach for food to numb or soothe that. Hold on, we got somebody in the waiting room. So first of all, let's go through the first thing. Does that sound familiar? Like, when was the last time you connected to, like, your beliefs, or did a beliefs overhaul about your body and what it says about you?
It's been a few weeks.
Okay. So I would just reconnect to that. Your brain already has the map for it. So there might just be some recency, and I'm raising my hand too. Like, there's beliefs that come up over and over again for me that I'm like, oh, no wonder. I'm just having a little bit of amnesia about that. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that's the first place I would look. And then I would love to, if you're open to it, and just for Margo, who just signed in, we're talking to Jessica. We're just going to coach through. She had an experience where she had an experience of her body yesterday, and it led her to feel certain things and think certain things that led her to reach for food that wasn't necessarily serving her. So we're just kind of walking her through that. So that being said, do you want to go through a little bit of like a thought cascade for that?
I'd love to.
Okay, cool. So the circumstance was, and I'll just take notes so I can email this to you if you want, so you can just be present. Circumstance was you saw yourself in the mirror. Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So circumstance was I saw myself in the mirror. What was the thought?
So I have a big chest. And okay. So I feel like it just kind of makes my whole upper body look bigger. And okay. I don't know, probably the sport bra I put on and the tank top I put over it. But the first tank top I put on, I was like, ugh. And then I told myself, don't get upset, don't get upset, don't get upset.
Okay, hold on. So before you started, so your thought was like, so basically you saw yourself in the mirror, you noticed your chest in your sports bra. And this is where it's really important because you skipped over it and you just went,
Okay.
Okay, so what's
really I did not like what I was looking at. I did not
okay,
like
Okay, so I don't like what I'm seeing is the thought.
Yes.
Okay. And then what did that cause you to feel? Sorry, was there another thought? Was there like, oh my gosh, this must mean that? Was there any other
thought? I don't think there was another thought. Like I just tried to pass over it. Like I was okay, like, got okay, it. The tank top isn't going to work. I'm going to grab another tank top. Just chill out. You're going to work out, like feel good about what you're doing to make things better. Right. Rather than focusing on how you feel looking in the mirror at this moment.
Okay. Got it. So what was the feeling that looking in the mirror and noticing your chest in the sports bra and the tank top caused you to feel?
Ugly, disgust.
Okay, so ugly like a is a
failure,
thought.
Maybe.
So ugly is a thought. Did you say I look ugly? And this is where we really want to get conscious, because if you're unconsciously skipping over it and then unconsciously feeding it with food, like this is important. Yeah. So were you saying like I look ugly?
I don't think, looking back on it, that's how I felt. I don't know if that actual thought came to mind because I was just trying to look past it, right? I was like, put on another tank top.
That's why I'm bringing this up, is because it's not conscious and we've got to get conscious real quickly.
Yeah. So
ugly is not really a feeling.
Like a failure.
Okay.
Disappointed, disgusted.
Hold on. Just roll with me for a second. Just answer the question I'm asking you. So when you said, we're going back to the thought here. Oh, I don't like what I'm seeing. What do you think because you jumped to ugly. What do you think was the thought? Like, I look ugly. Who's going to want me? I'm disgusted. Like, what were you not saying, but you were thinking?
That I'm a failure.
Okay. So you're saying I'm a failure at what? At life? At weight?
No, at this whole body image, weight loss stuff.
Okay.
All I've been working on for the entire year.
Okay. So do you see why this was an important thought for us to figure out?
Yes.
Okay, just saying it out loud, I'm sure you see the drama in it, right?
Yeah.
It's the backwards math of like, oh, I had a weird thought, so therefore I must be a failure, right?
Yeah.
There's the faulty math, right? So, and that caused the feeling of, so when you say I felt ugly, what does that really mean you were feeling? Were you feeling like disappointed in yourself? Were you feeling shame?
Yes.
Were you feeling unworthy, unlovable, like...
Disappointment and shame.
Okay. Okay. And then, but you went to spin, right?
I did.
Okay. And so your action was went to spin, but who are you being at spin? Was it kind of like I got to get this fat off? Was it like a punishment or
no.
Was it just normal?
No, it's never a punishment because I like the spin classes, but I was feeling very self-conscious.
Okay. Went to spin, feeling self-conscious. And then
feeling like I didn't like the way I looked.
Okay. About the way I looked. And then what happened after that? You came home and ate what?
Well, I stopped by the store cause I needed to grab a couple things. So I got a couple donuts, which are my weakness.
Okay. And what were you thinking that caused you to buy donuts?
Well, I get donuts. Again, I'm in a place where I'm really trying to do the food freedom thing. And I don't say one thing's good or bad. I'm trying just to eat what I want when I want without judgment.
Right. But here's where I'm bringing this up is you told me that you ate something that caused judgment yesterday. So well, were the donuts right. bad for you in that moment, or were they good for you in that moment? Were you actively choosing them because you wanted them, or were you just like defaulting and saying, screw it, whatever?
One would have been sufficient. The second one, I feel like, is where I'm maybe judging myself.
Okay. Okay. And what was happening before you went to grab the second one?
Nothing. There was no thought. It was just habit.
Okay. So were you still in that shame from before of feeling like, hey, cause here's the thing. If I'm a failure at this whole body image and weight loss thing, I'm literally quoting you, then the second donut won't care. Cause it just contributes to my story of being a failure. Does that, and again, none of this is conscious. That's why we're doing this.
Right. Right.
Is that tracking?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then the result was what?
Just feeling bad again, feeling like a failure. Like I've done all this work and here I am back at square one.
Right. Okay. So we're going to do two things. Are you up for it?
Yep.
Okay, cool. And thanks for rolling with me on that. Sometimes it's hard. I have to like do this with my students all the time and be like, hey, no, wait, answer the question that I'm asking you, you know, because it is in our blind spot. I get it
because everything's so habitual. We just don't even think about it, right? I wouldn't stop to think to ask myself these questions.
Yeah, exactly. So two ways we can approach this. First is we want to reverse engineer a better feeling thought, but there's a belief in here too, maybe a couple. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to actually start with the latter because that might paint this image for a second. Right. Okay. Can I just share? I think this is in your blind spot. So can I just share it with you?
Yes, please.
Okay, cool. I believe that there is an unconscious belief that like this body image thing and this weight loss thing is like a one and done thing. And you're supposed to just like be air quotes done with it. And anything out of alignment means that you failed.
Yes.
Versus if it's like, oh, this is a forever thing. I just noticed that I am having some body shame right now. And that's just data. And I don't have to like that I feel shame right now, but I am not going to let it take me down a rabbit hole. Do you see how that's very different? The same thing happened, but two different thoughts about it. But if yes. I'm living in a world where like, no, that's not allowed. Shame is not allowed because it's a one and done thing. I'm supposed to have handled this by now. Then that can't exist.
Okay.
Is this making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Margo said, can I say the two things again? Yes. So I'm just going to, I think I'm going to try and remember what I just said because it's always like spirit speaking through me. Right. But so one example is like, so when you live in a paradigm of like, oh, I just noticed some body shame showing up for me, data, right? And just literally acknowledging it as data and not turning it into drama of like, oh, that means I failed because this was a one and done thing that I was supposed to have healed in 12 weeks. And I'm never allowed to have an air quotes negative thought. That's one paradigm, right? I just kind of mixed the two versus, so sorry, what I just mixed data and drama. So let me say this a different way. So the first, so I'll just use the current circumstances. Right now, I believe there's a belief in there that like, this is a one and done thing, meaning I'm never supposed to have a negative thought about myself, meaning that if I do, I failed, and insert wash, rinse, repeat beliefs, habits, and actions that follow suit to that versus circumstances. I saw myself in the mirror. I noticed that I didn't like what I necessarily saw, and that's data. That was a thought. And I don't have to like the fact that I'm feeling some shame right now. And I don't have to like the fact that I'm feeling a little bit disappointed about my disappointment, but I'm not going to take it down the rabbit hole of drama of meaning that I'm a failure. So okay. The only reason this drama exists is because I believe you're living in a paradigm that you air quotes should have dealt with this by now, or you're never supposed to have a negative thought or whatever.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when I said, you're so welcome. When I said there's two ways to approach this and they're really not like mutually exclusive. One is you can literally just address like data drama, like up level some data drama on this, right? Like when you notice that drama, like noticing the data is no, I looked in the mirror and I didn't like what I saw. And the data is, I don't have to like that I didn't like what I saw, but I'm not going to make it mean anything else. That's it. I'm done. I'm not taking it down this rabbit hole.
right? And that's literally the new thought is I don't have to like it, but this is what I'm feeling right now. And I'm just going to process it and let it move through me. And the reason you probably ate it later is because you didn't process it and let it move through you. You shoved it down, right. You ignored it, you stuffed it, you numbed it, you distracted it, you spun it as in like went to spin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I know you decided to go to spin anyways, but you said while you were in spin, you were this like angsty version of yourself, mad at yourself. When 5 seconds before that, you're like, no, I love spin. But you're like, no, I literally was feeling self-conscious about the way I looked at spin the whole time.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that's what I mean by like change, like notice the drama and find a better thought, or AKA just accept that you don't like rather than spin the drama. Right. And then there's beliefs. I think there's a couple beliefs, right? One is about like air quotes, doing this program right or wrong in this process. From module one, I teach you guys, this is a forever conversation. A forever conversation. Okay.
Hey.
We cannot play the perfectionism game with this, or it'll be a weapon. Everything we do in here will be a weapon. Okay. So yes, your brain will keep getting better at it the more you practice it, and you'll keep getting better at it the more you practice it. But part of it is we have to continue. We can't just we've got to give it some recency. And so that's why the first thing I ask is like, what's the recency that you've had about these beliefs about your body image? Mm-hmm. Right. And so all you need to do is just go back and reconnect to that and just remind your brain like, oh, this is how we now believe.
Okay.
Right. But you also said that's where I also want you to like realize like where you're like, oh, I do the food freedom thing and I don't ever have guilt or shame about food. There's no like bad or right or wrong anymore. But it's like you came to me because you did not like your choices about what you ate after that first donut. Mm-hmm. The part of it is like, I say this all the time too, like guilt and shame, ladies, can be a tool. Oh my gosh, I feel guilt right now. What am I doing that's out of alignment? Oh, I feel shame right now. What am I saying about myself that's out of alignment with who I want to be? It can be a powerful tool, right? But it's when it becomes a weapon that in a spiral and it festers and makes a meaning of the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, that's when it's become a weapon. So here's the thing. For example, your shame can be like, oh, I'm noticing that shame right now. And I am so flipping done with shaming myself. There's a belief I need to overhaul. Boom. That's shame as a tool. Right.
Okay.
Or the guilt, man, I ate 2 donuts and my version of food freedom would have eaten that first one with permission. And that second one, I would have reverse engineered knowing I was going to feel like crap after that. Boom. Uh-huh. Guilt is now a tool.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. If you live in a world where like, oh my gosh, if I ever feel guilt and shame, I'm a failure. You are screwed. Making sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Margo, you had a question. Did you want to unmute?
Yes. Is that okay?
Can I
unmute for a second?
Sure.
I don't want to.
No, this is good.
Jessica's thing. When I'm hearing you talk about, you know, you have these two choices or two narratives, the drama narrative and the data narrative. And when you recognize that it's just data and you're holding it there, just pretend in your hand, mm-hmm. like, okay,
yeah,
I know this is the data. And then I was going to say where or how do you put it down? But then you said you need it to move through you. And so my first thought was Jessica going to spin class to move it through her, or how do we find, maybe this is already something we've already done, but how do we find what is that allows it to move through us, or where do we put it down so that we can move on? Like,
yeah,
I like
great.
That I'm feeling this way. I don't like that I'm feeling this way, but now what? Like, I'm not going to go eat and I'm not going to go to spin, you know, where do we go?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it answered your question. I think she had decided beforehand to spin, but I don't think spinning was what she ended up being, what she initially intended it to be because of the spiral. So things can shift like that, right? So I don't think spin ended up being that outlet because the donut happened afterwards. So keep that in mind, right? So in answer to your question, it's like, what do I do as my coping mechanism when I'm pissed off at the data, correct? Is that kind of what you're asking? Okay, cool.
Yes.
So, and this is where it's individualized, right? Like, honestly, that's part of the skill of accepting the data that you don't like. If you're still like carrying it around, you haven't accepted it. You're still arguing with it. Right. So for example, if you had a little like kid that you're watching, I know your kids are teenagers, but let's say you're watching somebody else's 4-year-old and they're like, I want this. And you're like, no, you can't have that right now. Right. That's not what we're doing right now. I want candy. No, you can't have candy right now. We're about to eat dinner or whatever. And they're like, no, I'm mad, whatever. Right. There's like, you would hold space for them, right? You wouldn't just like give in and give them the candy first and foremost, right? But you also wouldn't like shame them for being whatever, but you might also like mommy them a little bit in a stern way of being like, no, we don't like just like whine about not having candy. It's just what it is. Do you know what I'm saying? So part of it is like, we have to figure out how to be like emotionally available to ourselves in those moments. Sometimes we need a little bit of like sternness with ourselves. And sometimes we need the opposite, which is to be more gentle and compassionate. But that's where it's like, if you're still like arguing, like if with this circumstance, it's the whole, like, I don't have to like the data, but I'm going to hold space for the fact that I'm feeling shame and annoyance right now. But I'm not going to argue the reality. So that's the first one. And then if it might need to physiologically move through you. And that's where you experiment and say, hey, I like, this is where it's those little tactics that are not like meant, you're not supposed to like change your world on tactics, but sometimes tactics can be handy. So you might find that you're like, sometimes my tactic is like literally just getting out of my house and taking 5 minutes and going for a walk. So sometimes you need to physiologically excrete those stress hormones. Right. Sometimes you might need to cry. I cried yesterday for like the it seemed like the smallest thing. And I was like literally like a blubbering mess on the phone with my boyfriend. And I just needed to get some stuff out. And it wasn't rational. It wasn't logical, but I need a safe space to vent. Sometimes I'm the opposite. I need to just like breathe and I need parasympathetic. Right. Sometimes I need to write in my journal. Sometimes I need to like scream at a pillow. Sometimes I need to just let myself be there for a minute and not try to fix it and not try to solve it and hold space for my pain. But it's never any one thing. This is what I mean by being emotionally available to yourself. Is this making sense?
100%. And it's connecting the dots for me. I know it sounds elementary. But
no,
like to keep asking it,
not
but like,
at all.
But to like think, okay, so I'm just gonna say something like, okay, so sure. Say, I won't use Jessica's example, but just say there's something that causes you to feel a way that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
and then you notice, okay, the data is, I don't like how I feel about this. And I want to be emotionally available to myself and allow it to move through me, right? Like just to be bummed out about it, but let it go on. And then, in order to do that, I use the tools that I have now that are the parasympathetic tools, the movement tools, or whatever my personal tools are that I have found a little bit along the way over this journey. And I continue to add to those tools to like have other things, because in the past, this is a question, in the past, mm-hmm. then we just go straight to the food and then.
Great question. So this is a perfect opportunity to reverse engineer. Okay. So for example, yesterday when I shared with you that I was like, ended up like crying on the phone to my boyfriend, it's because something went down the night before that I felt like I hadn't been heard, not from him, from somebody else. And I was feeling, so when I asked myself what I needed, So how do I want to feel? I said, I just wanted to feel heard. So I couldn't go back to the person that it was with. It was like at this class on Tuesday night. And I was just so annoyed at this person in our class that we were in, because I thought they were just being so catty and immature and whatever. So I called my boyfriend yesterday and I was like, hey, do you have a minute? He's like, sure. I was like, I just want to share something with you. And I actually don't like want you to respond. I'm not looking for you to like fix it. I just want to share my experience. And I told him, I was like, yesterday when that happened, I said, I want you to know what was going on emotionally for me. I said, blah, 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 blah. Like, this is what happened. And when that got said, I regressed to like this little girl version of myself that felt like I was being criticized and blah, blah, blah. And I moved into just like this emotional version of myself. And then I started crying. I wasn't expecting to cry when I called him. But what happened was, what I needed in that moment was I needed to be heard, period. So I called somebody that was safe. And I just needed to be heard. That was one example of me being emotionally available to myself to something that was happening like 24 hours after it actually happened, because I felt it in my nervous system, right? Sometimes what do I need right now? Oh my gosh, I have so much fear about the future. So I need some clarity. I need some prediction and response. Okay, brain dump. How do I want to feel by the end of the week? And I just literally like start brain dumping. Like, I want to feel like I got this done. I want to feel like I had this conversation. I want to feel like free before I go on this trip, whatever. So sometimes it looks like that. Sometimes it's something that no matter what I do, I don't have control over it. I can't transform it. And that's when I physiologically move my body. I put on Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham, and I dance my sillies out, or I go for a walk, or I parasympathetic or whatever. So that's what I do when I really just, I'm having trouble accepting it. I physiologically change my state. So this is where when I say become emotionally available to yourself, it doesn't have to be this long drawn out thing. It can literally be like, what do I need right now? And how do I want to feel? And it's literally, again, coming back to mastering those freedom goggles. Is this making sense?
Yes. Yes. 100%. And I have a question.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Of course. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Is that like everything you just said plus more, is that something, or is there a tool, a visual tool that we could make or have or find, or maybe it's already made and I just missed it, that's like, these are some ideas to get you started on things that you might do when you need to be emotionally available yourself because you don't like the person Yes. You're being in the situation you're being? Because for me, I'm like, I feel like that. And the first thing I see is food. And that's like,
there is a tool. It's in module 4. It's called the connection audit. And it's literally split into two categories. Where do I need connection from myself? And where do I need to get it from somebody else?
Okay. I remember doing that. So
yeah. This is what I mean. Like, these are the tools. So this is literally like why I know, like, oh, I need movement now. Or I need to call somebody and I need to vent and I need to talk some shit or whatever it is, right? Yesterday I was talking bad shit to my boyfriend about this woman and man in our church group. And I felt very ungodly, but that's what I needed, right?
Yeah.
And I just needed to be heard. And he was like, oh my gosh, I totally can understand why you feel that way. He's like, I personally like don't feel that way about it, but I can see how you did. And that's exactly what I needed. And hearing that is literally what sent me into tears. I was like, oh my gosh, you don't even know how much I just needed to be heard right now. Like, that was it. Right.
Yes.
Also PMSing and emotional, but that's, so the connection audit, what kind of connection do you need right now? Cause here's the thing, when you're reaching for food, what you really need is oxytocin. So how do you want to get your oxytocin? Do you want to get it? And it's really a physiological, psychological, or emotional safety. That's what you need. So what Jessica needed yesterday was reiteration of like, no, you are not a failure. That is not failing. You're doing great. You're doing amazing. Right. But the old belief took over. Right. And maybe she needed an actual spin class. That was a spin class about like, F that. I am not letting my boobs ruin my spin class. I'm coming here and I'm going to reverse engineer feeling strong and powerful and lifted up. No pun intended, since we're talking about boobs. Right. But like, these are the things why I say everything's an experiment. And that's why I say every time I give access to a program, I always give lifetime access. Cause I don't want you to think like this is one and done. Your needs are going to change as you grow. right? And your needs are going to change as your relationships evolve, right? When your teenagers are adults, like you, they might be the person on your speed dial when you need to be heard. Who knows? Right. And I have my girlfriends when, I mean, cause for the majority of my life, I didn't have Charles. Right. So like, it's not, and it's not about becoming codependent on other people. It's about realizing we are dependent on other people. We need to be in community. Right. And that's why I have a help desk too for my clients. Right. But so part of it is like right now, and it was with Jess too. She needed connection. She needed emotional and psychological and like, and internal safety. And the old firing of that second donut came in, and there's no shame about it. Unless we create shame about it. That second donut can just literally be a second donut. That's data of how we do not want to fail. Right. But we also don't want to build a belief that that means freedom because we gave ourselves permission to have a second donut because it wasn't freedom in her case because she's talking about it right now and it's still in her head and her energy, right? So we want to be about that too. But yeah, go through that connection audit. And I specifically put it into two sections. One is how can I create connection within myself, AKA emotionally available to myself? And that's where it's going to change as seasons change. So for example, when I'm emotionally available to myself, it might be different in the winter when there's like snow on the ground and I can't just like go walk around the block. But it's an experiment. Sometimes I need parasympathetic to relax and sometimes I need to like move something through my body. And sometimes I do need to move into action. Like I can't even tell you how many times I said to Charles, like, I need to get to a yoga class. I need to sweat. I need to move my body. I need to just like breathe, you know? And that's my way of like, it's an action of being available to myself emotionally, even though it's physical. Right. So, but then sometimes I need it from other people. Right. And there's, I can't even tell you how many times there's stuff that like Charles is not my person to call. You know, I have my bestie on speed dial or my mom or whatever, like just know who your people are for different things. Right. And then there's things that I go through and I'm like, nobody can say anything. This is within me. This is between me and God. This is where my journal comes in. This is where I need to maybe put on a podcast that's going to speak something that I need to hear. Maybe I put on a sermon. Maybe I put on worship music. Maybe I reconnect with my old journals. Like nobody can fix this for me. I need to be heard by me. And sometimes I do a brain dump in my journal. But this is where I just named like probably 20 different things that I go to. So if you want a chart, you can totally take the connection audit from module 4 and turn it into when I'm sad, this is how I can be emotionally available to myself. When I'm like alone and I think I want food, this is what I really need. Like you can make that chart, but I don't have anything more than the connection audit, but you can always take it and turn it into that. Make sense?
Yes. And I'm just thinking out loud, but like,
yeah.
And I'm just that when I'm in that place, like when I'm, and I'm going to say fighting, cause I don't know exactly what I'm trying to say, but When I'm wrestling with myself between going down this shame spiral and receiving what my feelings as data, I'm working so hard to choose the not shame spiral route that like, I literally can't remember what I'm supposed to do next. And so
let me stop you right there. Yeah. That's the problem. You're trying to not choose shame. Do you hear how that's a disconnect? I don't think about blue. Don't think about blue. Don't think about blue. So literally, I just want you to come back to the basics of like, look at the drama, look for the drama and come back to the data and let the data sober you up. Like just immerse yourself in data and accepting the data. So you don't have to look for what's the next step and what's the next step. Just literally start at the drama. Bring yourself back to the data and accept the data. There's a new cheat sheet up in your membership library, in your resource library, in the getting started section. It's literally notice the drama, bring yourself back to the data and accept the data. I think that's the part you're skipping over is you're not accepting the data. And then you're,
I think,
What's that?
I think my question is, do those action, are those actions not the things that help me to accept the data? Or is it, I just have to say, I accept that this is data. I know that sounds stupid, but I'm like trying
It doesn't sound stupid at all. Yeah. So when you say those actions, what do you mean by those actions?
Like all the things that, that like you were just listing, like when I'm sad, I need this. When I'm this,
oh,
I need this.
I see what you're saying.
Like, yeah, like if I'm, first, if I'm accepting,
yeah, but
if
first
I'm accepting the data, sorry.
So part of it is like, you want to, we don't want to be so quick to paper over it and ignore it, because you've got to hold space for the feeling. Like, hold a minute, hold up a minute. Because, so for example, if somebody came to you and they're like, listen, I'm really sad, you wouldn't be like, hey, let's fix it with movement. Let's fix it with a spin class. Let's fix it. It's like, no, let's just hold space for your sadness. Just practice like being available to yourself when you're sad.
I know. I just, I think that that's, I'm too busy. Well, I'm too busy feeling it. I'm too busy.
I mean this with love, but listen to me. You're telling me you're not good at something that you've never tried to practice. So that makes sense. You don't know how to do it yet. So what if all your work was this week was just literally being emotionally available to and just holding space for any emotion that you're feeling and not trying to solve it and not trying to move through it and not trying to fix it. Just hold space and let yourself be in your sadness and feel. Imagine somebody putting their arm around you when you're sad. It's very different than being like, don't be sad. Let's cheer you up. No, let me be effing sad for a minute. Right? And that's the problem. If you're too busy for your sadness, you'll always be too busy for your sadness. So that's what I'm saying. No,
I was going to say, I'm too busy eating. I'm too busy filling up it up right. with food. I'm not too busy. I'm not too busy doing other things, but that's the place where I'm not able to reverse engineer how I want to feel. Like I'm
right. And that's what I'm saying. Move into reverse engineering. That's what I'm saying. Just slow, just listen to me for just a second. And I hear you. I totally hear you. This is what I'm telling you is the piece that's missing. So don't move into reverse engineering. Don't move into shifting the situation. Just hold space for what you're feeling and just put attention on that. And then when you're ready, okay, I'm ready. Like yesterday after I cried, then I was like, okay, I'm ready to do whatever's next to feel how I want to feel. But I needed to hold space for my sadness. And the way that I did that was by calling my boyfriend. I was like, I need to just like let somebody hear me be sad. So if you're too busy eating, which I totally get, been there, it just means you're skipping the part that I'm telling you to emphasize. And that's why I'm just creating awareness. Does this make sense?
Yes. I'm just asking between feeling the feeling and going to Charles and asking him to hear you, like saying, I need to feel heard.
Mm-hmm.
That space in between the space that's being held.
Mm-hmm.
When you're giving the example of holding space for a child,
yeah,
you're in charge of holding the space. So
yes,
I'm not the one feeling the feelings. So I'm the one holding space, right? In that example. And I'm really good. I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah.
But what I'm asking is what I'm asking is when I'm the person feeling those feelings,
yeah,
whatever they are, and that's, I guess I'm literally asking, how do I hold the space? How do I hold space for myself? But wait, or could you make the connection for me to the tool that I know, but that I might not know is the tool I'm supposed to be using right then.
Sure.
Because what happens is if I'm the one feeling the feelings and I'm the one holding the space for me to feel those feelings, I'm going to tell myself to go eat something because that's you know, like,
right.
That's okay. Comforting so that's to me. That's comforting to me. So that's me holding right. space for that. So
that's the mismatch is your definition of holding space is trying to fix it, numb it, shove it down. So it's not, so the definition of holding space, we just need to get clear on for you. Cool.
Okay. Yes, okay. And I'm sorry. You can go back to Jess. I didn't mean to take
it. Oh, over. No. This is so good. Oh, okay. I apologize. No, you're say, we should all be thanking you. So thank you. Okay. This is very much related and this is how we do it here. So this is very good. So a couple of things. Okay. First of all, so when I say holding space, I mean, just being with what you're feeling and not shoving it down, not fixing it, not like, numbing it, not treating it. Do you know what I'm saying? So going and eating is not holding space. It's actually the opposite. Okay. So what I mean when I say hold space, and we can find your version of this, right, is literally being like, man, I am sad, like labeling the emotion, kind of like when Jessica just went, oh, and I was like, wait a minute, that's not a feeling, right? That's what we're doing. We are literally, we don't even know what we're feeling because we are so like disconnected from it. So we use words like, oh, or meh, or rah, or whatever, right? It's just like a thud or an onomatopoeia sound, right? Or we're not even aware of that. We're already in food. Right. Or we're already in our phone or Netflix or whatever. Right. So when I say hold space, what I mean is literally that third step of acceptance of like, hey, I am feeling shame right now, or I'm feeling pissed off right now, and literally calling it out, speaking it out to yourself. I feel shame. I feel like shit. I'm mad, blah, 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 and calling it out. And then literally using, I don't give you guys any beliefs to like memorize except for the one, which is I do not have to like this. In fact, I can outright be pissed off that I'm pissed off, but I'm pissed off right now. And I am not going to argue with it or try to numb it out anymore because that's what's causing my suffering. So, or I'm not going to go eat my way through it because that's what's causing the suffering. So the space I want you to hold for yourself is literally basically borrowing the only like mantra, if you want to call it that. It's not a mantra, it's a belief that I invite you all to memorize, which is I do not have to like it, but this is what's happening right now. And the part that you're probably immune to or skipping over is the air quotes this, because you're not labeling it. You're not calling it out and be like, that's shame, that's sadness, that's overwhelm, that's fear, that's elatedness or happiness or whatever. So I want you to start literally like labeling your emotions, because it's very different when a little boy is crying because he's hungry and his tummy hurts, or vice versa, or he's not hungry and his tummy hurts, versus when he's crying because his feelings are hurt. We don't know why we're crying. We don't know why we're reaching for food, because we're skipping over, am I hungry or am I sad? So that's thing number one. And then thing number two is the part that I probably should have mentioned first is, and this is where it's a line in the sand. There is a belief. Let me just say it this way. I had to create a new belief where it was like, no, Leanne, which it was a line in the sand and it was defiant, where I'm like, I am effing done feeding my feelings with sugar. I am not, this is not who I want to be anymore. I'm done. And that might be something that you haven't done yet. So first of all, are we clear on what holding space is now? It's literally just that one specific tool. It just one, you can carry a note card around with it on it that says holding space means literally labeling my emotion and accepting that this is the feeling I'm feeling, even when I don't like it. Cause that's literally the middle ground. Like that's what's happening or not happening before you go reach for food. And the reason you're reaching for food is because that part's getting skipped over and it's happening so fast. And we need to slow our brains down. Does that
That's feel what I'm, when you just said it's happening so fast, I feel like by the time I notice, or by the time I notice that I'm in drama and I'm switching to data. Yeah. I'm already I'm already there. Like I'm already fixated on some kind of something I want to go eat or something, or I'm fixated right. on not thinking about it, or like I'm already have my, you know, metaphorical hand at the bottom of the bag. Like by the time, not every time, but
right.
the really hard things, I'm already, by the time I'm like ready to draw the sand, like the line in the sand. I mean, I know I've already drawn it 1,000 times over, but in that moment, by yeah. the time I'm ready to say, I'm fucking done with this, I'm already have my hand at the bottom of the bag.
Right. And so, but that's within the paradigm of you skipping over accepting the data that you don't like. You've been skipping okay. over the crucial part. That's what I'm saying. Like, just put a heightened okay. awareness on this one little piece, and it will give you like, it will give you a breather to be able to, it yeah. will literally, it can't not put you in your logical brain, because if you're already reaching for sugar in that moment, you're still in drama. You have not switched to data. That's what I'm trying to get at. Data and drama yeah. are like reciprocal inhibition. You can't be in one if you're in the other, like you can't. So it just means like, and that's why I'm really like hitting hard on this point, is like, this is the part mm-hmm. you're skipping.
Yeah.
And you're so not accepting it. You're ignoring it. You're not identifying it. You're ignoring it. You're not slowing down to be emotionally available to it. You're skating past it, and it's happening unconsciously. And that's why everything I'm telling you is being very conscious. But once you teach your brain this pattern, it's going to mm-hmm. feel good. You're going to be like, holy crap. Did you see what I just did? You're going to want to like tell people about it. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be nobody's in the room.
No. Well, okay. So just as I'm just going to ask this question and then, just for my clarity, like, yeah. because I feel like, so I feel so elementary. Like I need, that's like okay. I'm learning this.
I do too.
I'm learning this for the first time.
Sure.
Like I'm, you know, in first grade. So if I'm notice that I'm walking to the pantry or the fridge, I know this is going to sound silly, but just like for me, because I'm too deep into the emotion before I find the strength to say like, stop, that's drama. That's drama. This is the data. So like, could I interrupt that by saying like, every time you walk to the, and I know that this is what the freedom, I'm saying it out loud and I'm like, oh wait, that's the freedom goggles. So like every time I walk to the fridge or to the pantry or to the counter or whatever, that's the time when I stop, take a deep breath, and I say, how do you want to feel? Or I mean, like,
so that's the part where, yeah, that's up until how do I want to feel? That's where okay. when you notice yourself walking to the pantry,
yes,
you're moving into action. What I want you to move into is just awareness. Of like,
okay, and just
so with Jessica, for example, she had a thought that I'm a failure and this isn't working. And that's essentially what caused her to reach for food. So that's what I want you to slow down and realize when you notice the drama is not necessarily the circumstance. It's what are you saying to yourself that's causing you to go want to walk to the kitchen? There's something you're saying, and that's the part you're skipping over.
Okay.
It's the thoughts that you're speaking that are causing a feeling, that are causing an action of walking to the kitchen. And right now it's just going from circumstance to kitchen. You're skipping over the thought and the feeling. And that's why I want you to slow down and identify what is the thought, what is the drama? And then what am I, it's causing me to feel, and then hold space. And you can literally, again, dissolve it by showing, oh, that's, I really think part of it is like, you might want to just go back to obsessing over data, drama, acceptance, because a lot of the things you're struggling with won't exist in a paradigm where you've mastered that, right? So just spend the week on that and then go to freedom goggles. Cause maybe
and that,
you just need a refresher on that for your brain.
And does that look like, you're walking to the kitchen, stop, think,
What's the drama? What's the drama?
Okay.
Exactly.
So I'm walking to the kitchen and I think, what's the drama or what's the data? Like, and it could be that I'm what's totally the
drama
fine.
That I'm telling myself. What is the drama right. that I'm telling myself? So part of it, have you gone through the new getting started section yet?
The new one? No.
Yeah.
I've watched the old one 1,000 times.
Yeah. I've totally redone it.
Okay. Wait, hold on. I want to finish this question, this thought, because, okay. So this week, I lost my train of thought. Oh, I know. So say I'm walking to the kitchen and I'm like, okay. And I'm being dramatic. I'm being dramatic.
Yeah.
I'm making it bigger because I'm just trying to understand. Okay. So I'm walking to the kitchen and I realize I'm walking to the kitchen and I stop. And I say, what is the drama and what is the data? And this is like metaphorical stopping. But then it could be that I'm going to the kitchen because I'm hungry and I want to eat. And that could be the data that I discover, not all negative. Right?
Exactly.
Or it could be that I could say, okay, stop. You're walking. Like, that's my interruption. My interruption is to like pretend like this area has an electric fence on it. When I go, that's when I have to buzz myself into attention or something. I don't know. And then I say, if I'm in drama, I say, what's the drama? And if it's a data, then I say, oh no, and if it is drama, then I determine what is the data.
So here's the thing. If you're just walking to the kitchen because you're hungry, it doesn't live in this paradigm. Then you're just going to go eat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to. So part of it is like, when you're noticing that you're feeling a certain way that doesn't feel good, just literally ask yourself, like, what am I telling myself that is not true? That is not, that is just a feeling. That is just like a drama.
Yeah.
And then, so I really do. I love you. I want you to watch the video again because I read it.
Okay.
Okay. The new daily ritual. Okay.
Okay.
All I want you to do is ritualize data drama and accepting it, because I think I think it'll just, part of it is like, you know how, like, if you're teaching somebody how to ride a bike, like, you can't teach them balance. Like, they have to get on the bike and then you kind of troubleshoot as you go. Part of it is like, you're trying to logic through an emotional circumstance and it's like, you need to get on the bike to figure out what it looks like for you. But yes, you're correct. When you're walking to the kitchen and you know you're not hungry and it's an emotional reaction, part of it is like, we sleepwalk through our life. I just want you to become aware of your thoughts. That's it.
On it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And so I'm trying to simplify. The reason I keep stopping you is because I just don't want you to complexify it for yourself, if that's a word. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, totally.
I'm just trying to keep it super simple. And that's why I'm like, maybe like, I'm going to actually post the cheat sheet in the chat right now so you can see it. That it's literally, hold on. So if you just click that link, it literally just says like, what's the data? What are the facts? Not my feelings. What's actually happening or what just happened? And then what's the drama? What's the meaning or the story or the justification that I'm giving this? And then move through acceptance when you don't like it. Acknowledge that this is happening. Decide to mindfully respond instead of react. So reacting would be moving to the kitchen. Mindfully responding would then be like, hey, like, again, accepting that I don't like it, I'm going to move through this. Or mindfully responding when you're ready might be reverse engineering something. But either way, like, we can't mime this talk this out if you're skipping over the part where this all happens. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Were you able to click on the link that I sent you?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I totally redid the getting started section for this purpose. I just wanted to clarify and simplify your, all of this.
Okay, great. And
all, like, if I were to just simplify it for you, all I want you to do is just start noticing your thoughts. Notice when you start to react, which is go to the kitchen, and then boom, what am I thinking right now? And like, literally just get in your head and ask yourself, I'm thinking, wow, this isn't fair. Why does it have to be like this? I'm thinking, man, I'm hungry. Okay, cool. Then go to the kitchen, right? or I'm thinking, man, I'm sad, I'm tired, I'm bored, whatever. Like, just start noticing what you're thinking, because right now it's just happening in the, and you're not noticing it.
Okay. I'm on it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you. Well, thank you, Jessica, for sharing your story and for bringing these questions up in me. And thank you, Leanne, for just letting me ask it again and again. And I'm just, I don't know why. I mean, I do know why. I want to understand, and I want to.
Of course. Yeah.
You know,
dealing with some really big stuff. And the fact that you're like, hey, I want to come back to basics. Like, I'm asking like a kindergartner. I love it. Like, that's, what do they say? Like childlike wonder, childlike faith. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I am. Like, so bring it on. So don't ever apologize. Like, honestly, I want all of my clients to like go back to the basics and see it through new eyes all the time. So this is the perfect opportunity for you to do that.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Suzanne had to hop off. She said, all of my celebrations were the flip side of body image, a win of giving myself space and asking for space this week for my feelings. Awesome, Suzanne. So we'll hopefully hear from you next week. And yeah, cool. Anything else that's coming up for you ladies while we're here, Jessica or Margot? Going one.
I had a celebration.
Oh yeah.
I went off on this whole other thing. I didn't get to share it.
Celebrate with us.
Okay. I was just going to tell you that, you know, last time we talked, I was at the airport, so it was my second time, going away, since I have really consistently ritualized my movement. And after the last time, which was just a couple, you know, just like a week or two ago, I said, like, I was scared if I was going to be able to return to it. And while I was gone, I didn't really know what to do in a different place. But my celebration is that I have now witnessed myself for the second time coming back to that morning ritual. And I was like, I couldn't wait. Yeah, I didn't even have any clean clothes. Like, I got home at like 11 o'clock at night and didn't even have any clean clothes. And I was like, I'm just going to put on dirty clothes and I'm still going to go, you know?
Amazing.
And so I was really elated to be able to see myself, like witness myself do that twice. And then some girlfriends, moms were getting together this morning, and that's when I'm usually on my walk. And I was like, but I really feel like I want to be with them too. And then I'm like, I don't want to abandon myself. And so, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I was worried, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it when the weather changes, you know, or whatever, you know, the metaphorical weather changes. Anyway, so I walked to my friend's house and then I walked home, and instead of going on my normal walk. So anyway, that's my celebration, is that for the first time I witnessed myself, you know, taking my daily ritual and doing it with different ingredients. And
I love it. Yeah. So, and to me, what that shows is that it's not just you, air quotes, doing walks anymore. You're becoming the version of yourself that takes care of her health and takes care of her body and moves her body. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just becoming who you are now.
Yeah.
Right.
That's really cool. Choosing, yes.
Knowing, and being, again, even just you being aware of being like, oh, am I like walking towards connection, or am I like, and use the word abandoning yourself? You can also choose to hang out with somebody else, and it doesn't have to mean that you're abandoning yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? But part of it is like that awareness that you have. That's the kind of heightened awareness I'm just inviting you to give with moving to the kitchen around food.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Like, you slowed down. You're like, wait a minute. Do I say yes to them or do I walk with me? Like, you literally just slowed down and had a conscious response instead of reacting. That's all we're going to be doing with this food thing. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. That makes it even more clear. See, it's been 40 years of it not being that. So it's very hard. Absolutely. It's like very hard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you came on here a couple of weeks ago. It's and like, Leanne, I have a confession. I've been doing all this deep work and you've just made leaps and bounds with your heart, your soul work. It happens all the time where my clients are like, oh my gosh, now I should do the food stuff. And you're like, so keep in mind, like you're just like creating these distinctions around food now. So that's why I was like, let's go back to the basics. Let's get you back to data versus drama. But let's, you know what I'm saying? Now we're doing it in a new context. And if you're not the same person that you were last time, because don't discount all of the work that you've been doing.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with food. And now you were like, okay, I'm ready for this. So just keep that in mind. Yeah. Too. We're like 2 weeks into actually saying, okay, I'm ready to talk about the food stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So of course your brain doesn't have a map for it. And that's why I was like, hey, let's just slow it down and just create this one awareness around just holding space for and slowing your brain down. When you go to the kitchen, just pause and be like, what am I thinking right now? And literally just become aware of your thoughts. Don't try to change them. Don't try to reverse engineer them. Just as you were acutely aware of your thoughts about the walk today, just start creating an awareness around your thoughts around when you go to the kitchen. And the rest will start working itself out.
That feels like a very big aha moment for me right now. What because to make that connection too, or like, I just was like thinking in my head, like eating I'm exaggerating a little bit, but like eating is almost like breathing to me.
Yeah, and like for sure,
like it just happens. And same with actually I'm realizing used to be the same with like feelings of shame. It was like it was just so it was like breathing so it was great. Like always there.
Yeah.
But now I don't feel, I'm realizing all of a sudden I'm not feeling like that all the time. And so
not
that
your means emotional it can, home anymore.
Right. And that means it can happen with the food too, right?
And it will happen. Yeah. And I wasn't trying to like cut you off or interrupt you, but I didn't want you to, I could hear you kind of complicating it. And that's why I was like, wait, don't do that. Like, let's just simplify it. So I wasn't trying to like cut you off or interrupt you, but I didn't want you to overcomplicate it for yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I know somebody who does that all the time, AKA pointing my fingers at myself. So
thank you.
So awesome. So I'm glad. So now you're getting some clarity. Okay. And just reach out to me on the help desk too. Like we can keep talking about it in between. You know what I mean? So, okay, cool. Awesome. Well, great call, ladies. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for sharing. Jessica, thanks for letting us coach you through this. Thanks for being vulnerable. Margo, thanks for, and thank you for creating the question. And Margo, that came up. Margo, thanks for being brave and asking. Thanks for letting me coach you. I know it's not always easy. You guys are amazing. So keep me posted. Reach out to me for support. And we will be back on Monday. Lots of love, sisters. Bye.